evening and welcome to Rabbi Sacks this year. Tonight's topic will be Tisha B'Av. The summer program learning is being sponsored by Joanne and Ephraim Zayat, and the learning is being dedicated this summer in memory of Ariel Small, Alel HaShalom. Next Wednesday won't be a share on Monday evening, but next Wednesday will be the last share of the program by Rabbi Sacks. The topic will be Ariel Tafshilin and the Chavrut Gadol Rav Sacks. The very character and uniqueness of Tisha B'Av reflects itself in two distinct ways. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us in Sachin Adaf Mendalid that Tisha B'Av is similar to Yom HaKippurim. There, the Gemara tells us that Ein Ben Yom HaKippurim the Tisha B'Av, El Zes Sveiko Aser, Zes Sveiko Mutter. Tisha B'Av is quite similar to Yom Kippur, with the noted exception Yom HaKippurim obviously Daraisa, He Safek Sveiko Daraisa L'Chumra, unlike the case of Tisha B'Av, where a suffix would be Lakula. In this sense, that just as Yom HaKippurim is our model of a Tainus Tzibur, the same thing is true regarding Tisha B'Av itself. And just as that all five Inuyim exist on Yom Kippur, the model of Tainus Tzibur, the same thing is true when it comes to the day of Tisha B'Av. Yom Kippur, of course, is a time of Tshuva, the mitzvah v'shavta ad Hashem l'kecha, ki v'yom hazeh yechafer leichem letareschem, and certainly this is true when it comes to Tisha B'Av as well. It's considered to be similar to Yom Kippur, in that sense that it isn't a threat zone, it is a time of Tshuva. It is not coincidental that the Kriya Satorah on Tisha B'Av is from Parshas V'yastanan, but Sarvacha Mutzaucha, and in fact the posuk of v'shavta ad Hashem l'kecha. So in one sense, no doubt, Tisha B'Av is a Tainus Tzibur, accompanied by Inuyim, a time of Tshuva. But then the Gemara tells us in Tainus and Daf Lamed, there's a second element to the time of Tisha B'Av, and that is that Tisha B'Av is considered to be a day of Avelos, very different from Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, in a certain sense, there is a mitzvah of Simcha. The Rambam implies in Perek Gimel Hilchos Chanukah that there is a mitzvah of Simcha min HaTorah even on Yom Kippur itself. If the very definition of Simcha is the Samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, so therefore you can understand if this is true, Ki v'yom ezeh yechaparechem Lifnei Hashem Titaru, that there is a mitzvah deraisa of Simcha even on Yom HaKippurim itself. But certainly not true when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is considered to be a time of Avelos, and indeed, as the Gemara mentions in Tanya's Kol HaMitzvos, HaNoagos Ba'avel, Noagos B'Tisha B'Av, Dini Avelos apply. The Rambam emphasizes this in the Pirush Mishnayos from the very end of Maseches Tanya's, two different elements to Yom Kippur, on the one hand a Tanya's Tzibur, on the other a time of Avelos. The Meir even points out, Yuma Dafayin Ches, that one could envision in certain respects there are added restrictions on Tisha B'Av that don't apply Yom HaKippurim exactly because of that element of Tosefes Avelos. So therefore the Inuyim, that is comparable to a case of Yom Kippur. The fact that we will sit on the ground, the fact that we don't don tefillin in the morning, that is a function of Avelos. In fact, the Menachas Chinuch points out that the Isser Rechitza on Tisha B'Av really is a confluence of both elements. Rechitza is usher on Yom Kippur, and Rechitza is forbidden when it comes to Avelos. And therefore, Rechitza is an example of a twofold kiyum on Tisha B'Av, marking one of the Inuyim, also the time of Avelos. The fact that it is similar to Yom Kippur means that even the smallest amount of Rechitza, even Ever Echad, is considered to be usher. When it comes to an Avel, Rechitza's Kol HaGuf is forbidden, but Rechitza's Mikdas HaGuf, part of the body, is in fact permitted. Menachas Chinuch even suggests the following Kiddush. Let's assume, for example, that Tisha B'Av should fall out on Shabbos. So obviously we don't fast on Shabbos. The element of Tainus Tzibur, that is delayed until Sunday. But what about the element of Avelos? After all, in principle, certain aspects of Avelos, Dvar Shebitzina, could exist even on Shabbos as well. Shabbos, by definition, is one of the days of Shiva. And therefore, if Shabbos is Ola L'Minyan Shiva, so perhaps one could suggest, as Menachas Chinuch does, that if Tisha B'Av should fall out on Shabbos, certain elements are delayed until Sunday, but the elements of Avedus could still apply on Shabbos itself. Let's assume Rechitza. So therefore, the Isra of Rechitza to Miktas Aguf, that is a function of Tanisibur. That we would delay until Sunday. But the Isra Rechitza of Avedus of Kol Aguf, in principle, that could exist even on that Shabbos itself. So therefore, in a certain sense, there is dual aspect to Tisha B'Av. Similar to Tanis Sibur, and at the same time, it is considered to be a day of Avelos. We've discussed in the past the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the Sugin Yuma Andav Peyalis, V'nisim Es Nafshasechem Etish L'Chodesh Ve'erev. And we pointed out that we assume halacha that this mitzvah applies not only on Yom Kippur, but there's a mitzvah Tosefes even on Shabbos and Yom Tif as well. That's because we assume that this mitzvah is halacha in Kedusha Sayom. When it's obligated to begin a Kedusha Sayom at an earlier stage, and therefore we begin Yom Kippur early, and so too when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tif as well. But the Rambam sheet is somewhat unique. When it comes to this mitzvah of Tosefes, the Rambam does not mention Tosefes Shabbos, does not mention Tosefes Yom Tif. The Rambam only mentions the mitzvah of Tosefes when it comes to Yom Kippur, and furthermore, the Rambam frames the mitzvah of Haskel Latzum Ulihisanos Mivod Yom. You're obligated to begin the Tainis, the fast of Yom Kippur, early. It's halacha in Inuim. The basis of the Rambam, simply based on Yerushalmi, seems to indicate as follows. The pasuk is V'nisim es nashasechem v'sishu l'chodesh la'erev, and therefore the Rambam understood that the mitzvah Tosefes is not halacha in Kedusha Sayon, but rather it is midin Tainis Tibur, that the Torah insists that the Tainis, the Inuim, that one begins Mibod Yom. And in fact, if you look at that Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayos, the very end of Maseches Tainis, the Rambam states a very great Chiddush, that although it's mentioned, the Rambam does not have a mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos, or Tosefes Yom Tif, the Rambam writes there is a mitzvah Tosefes when it comes to Tisha B'Av, when it's obligated to begin Tisha B'Av early. Because if in fact Tosefes is halacha in Inuyim, V'nisim es nafshoseichem, so therefore the Rambam assumes this is a further link between Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. These two halachos are evident, as Bereishis would often comment, in the Kriyas HaTorah and the Haftarah. After all, the Kriyas HaTorah is one which is reminiscent of Tainis, Shuvah, V'shavta Ad, Hashem Elokecha, the Haftarah from Yirmiyahu HaSof HaSifrein is one whose theme is Avelus. Those two elements of Tisha B'Av are element in the Takana itself of the Kriyas HaTorah and the Kriyas HaTorah of the day of Tisha B'Av. In fact, there is a Chassam Sofer has a fascinating Shuv in Kufnun Zayin where the Chassam Sofer discusses the following. What happens if a person is not able to fast? Can that individual be in accorded in Aliyah? There is a Shuvas Maharik when it comes to Tainis B'Av, that if a person, for example, is not fasting on B'Av, he should not be accorded Aliyah to Kriyas HaTorah. That you certainly understand, because after all, if I am not fasting on B'Av, in what sense am I linked to commemorating that day? What is special about B'Av is the fact that it is a Tainis. And if I am not fasting, I am excluded, and therefore I cannot get an aliyah. What about on Yom Kippur? Or what about when it comes to Tisha B'Av? A person has to eat on Yom Kippur, a cholam. In such an instance, can he be accorded aliyah or not? Rabbi Kedega writes the following. He feels that it is obvious when it comes to Shachris and Yom HaKippurim, even one who is unable to fast can still be given an aliyah. Because why is it that you have a Kriyas HaTorah on morning of Yom Kippur? Is that simply because of Tainis Sibur? That's a function of Kedushas Hayom. Every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, there's a Kriyas HaTorah. That certainly is true when it comes to Yom Kippur as well. The suffix of Rabbi Kveger is the following. Why is it that you lain Mincha on Yom HaKippurim? Is that also a function of Kedushas Hayom? Or is that simply Midin Tainis Tibur? And the Tainis, there's always a Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha. It's true, you don't mean Vayichal, you mean from Sefer Vayikra with Master Yonah, but in principle, what is the Mechayiv of the Kriyas HaTorah? Kedushas Hayom, or is it considered to be a Tainis Tibur? That is Rabbi Kveger's suffix. Rabbi Kveger writes an afkamina would be someone who is not fasting, can they get an aliyah at Mincha on Yom Kippur? In fact, the Macheshes points out that perhaps this is a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. How do you end the brachos of the Haftorah of Master Yonah? Do you end with mugging David? That's the view of the Ramah, that's our Minhag Ashkenaz. Or the Mechaber, do you say Al HaTorah V'Yal HaAvodah? If the Mechayiv is Yom HaKippurim, so perhaps therefore you should mention Yom Kippur in the Nushpach HaBracha of the Haftorah. If you argue that no, it's a function out of Kedushas HaYom of Tainas Sibur, so therefore you should be Chosin the Haftorah simply as mugging David. Our practice, as mentioned, the Ramah, is to end at that point. And therefore, Marcheshus points out, perhaps that is an indicator that the Haftorah and perhaps the Kriyas HaTorah itself, right, is a function of Tana Sibur. In fact, there are even different minhagim. What shrub does the Baal Korah use for the laning of Mincha on Yom Kippur? And perhaps that reflects these two possibilities. The most common in Ashkenaz is to use the standard weekday trup, not Yom Kippur trup, when it comes to the Kriyas HaTorah, perhaps indicating that the Mechayiv of the Kriyas HaTorah is not the Kedushas HaYom, but rather it is Tainus Tzibur, and that is exactly why we're Chosin HaTorah with Magen David as well. But that's the suffix of Rabbi Kiveger. Some Sofer goes a step further and discusses this regarding Tisha B'Av. A person who is unable to fast on Tisha B'Av, can he be accorded an aliyah? The Chassam Sofer writes that he personally had to eat on a particular Tisha B'Av and he was always accorded aliyah, and he wrote a lengthy tshuva and he sent that tshuva to the Beis Din of Pressburg in order to get their assurance that it will be appropriate for him to receive the aliyah on Tisha B'Av as well. And there, in that tshuva, Chassam Sofer emphasizes there is much more to the day of Tisha B'Av above and beyond simple fasting. First, after all, the Chassam Sofer writes, even if a person is eating, there still are other inuim that a person would have to observe, and therefore perhaps that is considered to be sufficient. And an interesting issue, lahalacha, if you have a cholo who has to eat on Tisha B'Av, we know when it comes to Yom HaKippur in the halachos of shiurim, in the sense that just because a person has to eat, it doesn't mean that he can eat whenever and whatever he wants. A person will eat quite minimally. The Chassam Sofer discusses whether that aspect applies even on Tisha B'Av as well. The halacha of shiurim, and once a person has satisfied the medical need, now he's no longer considered to be allowed to eat anything further. And then furthermore, the Chassam Sofer writes, the nature, the character of Tisha B'Av as a time of avelus certainly transcends the iser of achila and shtia, and therefore, unlike Bahab, where if you're eating, you have no link to the special character of that day, that certainly is not true when it comes to the time of Tisha B'Av itself. So certainly Tisha B'Av, in addition to being a time of inuyim and a time of tainus, is considered to be marked by aspects of avelus. Part of the reason that we read in Kinos Asaru Gimalchus is exactly because of that element of avelus. We do so on Yom Kippur, not midin avelus. We read Asaru Gimalchus in terms of being Ma'orer Tshuva and Rachamei Shamayim. The reason that we read this when it comes to Tisha B'Av is, after all, because Misa Tzedikim is comparable to Sreita Tzeis Hamikdash, and therefore that is part of the kium of avelus itself, to be able to elaborate and discuss the Asar Hugi Malchus. So these are two very different elements which are uniquely blended on Tisha B'Av, Tainus Tzibur, together with aspects of avelus. We experience them at different times of the year, but the fact that they fuse, they merge, that is unique to the time of Tisha B'Av itself. Tisha B'Av is unique because, aside from being a day of avelus, there also seems to be an element of simcha. After all, kara alai moed, the Tisha B'Av is also referred to as a time of a yantif. Generally speaking, of course, that yantif and avelus cannot go hand in hand. The Gemara may cut in daf yadal no days, that if a person, rachman litzlan, is an avel, the mitzvah of simcha will not tolerate avelus. And therefore, asi mitzvah derabim, v'dachi mitzvah diachid. What is unusual about Tisha B'Av is that there are elements of avelus, no doubt, but also an element of moed. The fact that we don't recite tachanun, for example, that there is a concept of moed that exists even on the day of Tisha B'Av. And the question, obviously, is why should that be so? How is it that we celebrate, so to speak, a time of Churban HaBayis. And Rashi and Tosfos and Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis quote a fascinating medrash that already gives us a glimpse into this element of Moed on Tisha B'Av. Rashi and Tosfos quote from Tilem Ayin Tes that Mizmar Asaf Elokim Ba'o Goyim B'Nachlasecha Timo Eshecha Kodshecha. Mizmar Asaf, we sing a Mizmar, a Shira, that the Goyim came and destroyed the Beis Hashem. Rashi and Tosfos write the name of the Medrash that Mizmar Asaf, Kino Asaf Mi Ba'yadei. This should be a basis of anguish, a basis of lamentation. Why is that considered to be Mizmar Asaf? And that is exactly the Medrash that tells us that now, Shafa Charnapa V'yotzeitz Eitz B'Yehuda, Kila Kadosh Baruch Hu Eschamasal Eitzim V'Avonim Shebe'echal. Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal let out his wrath against the sticks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash, Umitokach, and as a result, he should play to the Yisrael. It was clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angered at Knesset Yisrael, and what were the options? One option, Rachman al-Islam, destruction of Knesset Yisrael. The other option was Shafachan, Afa Vayatzeit Eitz, Biuda. And therefore, Rashi and Tosfos explain in Kedushin that relatively speaking, there is great nechama in the fact that Knesset Yisrael survived and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and that is why Mizmar LeYosef, we sing Shira HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even in a time of Hesterpanim, even in a time of an Esara, nonetheless that our uniqueness and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to endure. Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out that there is something almost paradoxical about our observance of Tisha B'Av and historically the timing of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We know that the Beis HaMikdash began to burn at the conclusion of Tisha B'Av and burned into the tent. That is why there are elements of Nihu Gevevos that apply not only on the 9th but also on the 10th as well. Yerushalmi and Tainus and Perek Dalet writes that Rabbi Ovin used to fast 2 days on Tisha B'Av, but also on the 10th of Av, because that was the time of actual burning and destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Gemara even writes in the Gilan Daf Hei that Rebbe Dikshu Levatil Tisha B'Av, that somehow Rebbe wanted to either abolish or modify the observance of Tisha B'Av. Tosfos is very bothered that how could Rebbe go ahead and do so? We know that any how is it possible? Tosfos explains in the Gula Daf Hei Amud Beis that Rebbe was not going to abolish Tisha B'Av, but Rebbe was troubled. Why is it that you commemorate the Churban HaBayis on the 9th and not on the 10th? The 9th is when the Sreifa began, but the actual destruction was on the 10th. Even further, as the day continues on Tisha B'Av, no doubt our Avelus lessens. It diminishes. The Avelus is most intense at night and in the morning. That's where, for example, that there's an Isser of Yeshiva al-Gabi Akis, they were obligated to sit on the karka, on the floor. We don't recite in Kaddish Tiskavel Tzlosam, we don't beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our Tfilos, because after all, in Megillas Eicha, it's the time that our tefillos are silenced. We don't put on tefillin at that moment because pe'ercha chavo shalecha, as the Navi Yechezkel tells us, that tefillin is called a pe'er, an adornment, inappropriate to adorn oneself at this particular time. And then all of a sudden, as the day progresses, the avelus diminishes. We sit on our chairs, we say Tiskavo Tzlosan, a person dons their tefillin. You get the impression that the avelus is most intense at the beginning of the day, and then in the afternoon, it diminishes, it lessens, and then minor elements of avelus apply on the coming day of the 10th. And wouldn't it be most reasonable to assume that the opposite should be the case? The 10th, the burning of the Beis HaMikdash should be the most intense avelus. When the Beis HaMikdash was set afire on the 9th toward evening, that should be a time of avelus. And the beginning of the day, that simply should be the lesser, the diminished form of the avelus itself. Rav Soloveitchik explained perhaps the answer to this is exactly as Rashi and Tosfos write of Mizmar La'asa. What was the most dire window of time during Tisha B'Av in the coming day? When it was clear to Bnei Yisrael of the anger Kaviyachav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they knew that an onesh was imminent, but yet, at that point in time, exactly at the beginning of the day, it was not known what the onesh in fact would be. Would it be that Shafach Charan Apo V'yotet Eitz B'Yudah? Hila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eskamasal Eitzem Vavane Shebe'echal? Or Rachman Litzman, would it be more destruction of Knesset Yisrael? That was the most dire moment. And Mizmar Le'asaf, there was a certain measure of Nechama when the Beis HaMikdash burned and when Knesset Yisrael survived. And therefore, in terms of the tragic Avelus, in the moments of anguish, perhaps the time, the window immediately prior to the Sreifas Beis HaMikdash, that was the most intense period of Avelus. And when the Eitzim and Avanim and Heichel burned, and Knesset Yisrael survived, that is when we say Tiskav al Tzeloson, that is when we sit on our chairs, that is when we put on tefillin, we adorn ourselves with that pe'er, in order to indicate that Mizmar Le'asaf Elokim Bo Gam Menachem Asecha, Timo Asecha al Kodshecha. So this is a further element of Tisha B'Av. Not just simply Kara Alay Moe, that there will be a time when the Churban will come to an end and we can celebrate Binyan Beis HaMikdash, but to be able to see Hashkachas Hashem even in a time of Churban itself. When it comes, no doubt, to elements of Talmud Torah, that is a further manifestation of Avelus, of Tisha B'Av. After all, an Ovel is not allowed to be Osek in Torah. The Kudei Hashem Yishari Mitzan Chelei, on one level, it's forbidden because of Simcha. Furthermore, the Gemara Shulchan Aruch states that Hesek Hadash is considered to be forbidden during Tisha B'Av. A person is not to engage in a pursuit that would deter one's mind from what it is that we commemorate during Tisha B'Av. And therefore, Liman HaTorah again is forbidden because of elements of Hesek Hadash as well as because of elements of Simcha. If a person indeed engages in the Dvarim Harayim, those sugyas that discuss the Churban, that enhances, in fact, one's experience. If you look, for example, in the Kaf HaChaim, it's an interesting machlokas, rooted in the machlokas Rishonim, whether, in fact, there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. After all, one is not allowed to learn generally. One is allowed to learn, right, those sugyas of the Churban. Is one allowed to learn, or do we assume that no? If one is allowed to, then one must. After all, there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In those conditions, the same issue regarding Avelus. An Avel is not allowed to learn generally, but he is allowed to learn those Dinei Avelus and such sugyas. Is there an obligation that Avel do so simply because of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself? But certainly, no doubt, that part of the element of Avelus is we can't experience and appreciate the simcha of the Dvar Hashem during the time of Tisha B'Av. So one reason that Liman HaTorah is usher during this day is because of the Simcha Salei. The other is because of Hesek Hadas. And the Gemara tells us a person should not engage in chores like kibbutz, like laundry. Not because that there's an element of Simcha, but simply it deters one from focus and concentration on the significance of the day itself. Perhaps, however, when it comes to the Isser of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, that also emphasizes a further element. After all, the Gemara tells us in the Dharma Daf Pe'aleth that Al Ma Avda Ha'aretz, that why is it that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? And here the Gemara answers, Al Shalhei Mevarchin B'Torah Tchima, because Knesset Yisrael did not properly recite Birchas HaTorah. That is the answer of the Gemara. In fact, the Shagasari discusses at length, we've discussed this in an earlier shiurim, to what extent is Birchas HaTorah a mitzvah daraisa, or is it only a mitzvah derabanan? With few exceptions, brachos are Derabanan. But a fundamental machlokas is shown regarding Birchas HaTorah. The Rambam does not count Birchas HaTorah Minyan HaMitzvos, and in fact this is the Hasaga of the Ramban and the Hosafos Mitzvos Tezayin, where the Ramban writes that of course it should be counted among Tayag Mitzvos, the Gram Brachos and the Chof Aleph, Ninayim, the Birchas HaTorah, the Faneha Min HaTorah, Shenemar, Hishem HaShem Eka, Havu Goz, Lelokeinu. And therefore one is obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah. In fact, the Shagazariah tries to prove it must be that Birchas HaTorah is Daraisa, because after all, the Gemara argues that the Churban HaBayis was the result of negligence in Birchas HaTorah, and therefore doesn't that indicate that it must be a mitzvah chamura, perhaps as a mitzvah Daraisa. It's interesting, if you look in the Ran argues that it wasn't Birchas HaTorah, but rather the fact that Knesset Yisrael did not recite Birchas HaTorah, that was an indicator of their mindset, how they would view the Limud HaTorah itself. Why is it that Birchas HaTorah was not recited? The Ran writes, Shlohayu Chashuvim Be'enav, Shlohayu Oskin Balishma. They didn't revere Limud HaTorah. It wasn't considered to be prominent. They didn't involve themselves in Torah Lishma, and that was evident by the fact that Birchas HaTorah was omitted. And therefore the Ran points out that one always has to realize that link, Limud HaTorah, together with that element of Churban HaBayis. The Koizemberger Rebbe once pointed out, perhaps that is why that Talmud Torah is usher on Tisha B'Av. Not just simply because of Simcha, not simply because of Hesach Hadas, but to realize the Churban HaBayis resulted from Shlohayu Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila, Al Shlohayu Chashuvim Eneim, as the Ran writes, and therefore there is a day where we are deprived from that opportunity to freely engage in Limud HaTorah itself. In the name of the Alshich, you find the following Kiddush. The obvious difficulty with that Gemar Nedarim and Daf Pei Aleph, is that so clear that the reason for the Churban HaBayis was Al Shlohem Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila? How can that be? Doesn't the Gemara tell us in Yuma that what was the basis of the Churban HaBayis? It was Averos HaChamuros. It was Gimerayos of Arizara Shechaz Damin. In Bayesheni it was Sinas Chinam. So how can the Gemara Nedarim, a reference to Bayis Rishon, tell us Al Shlohem Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila, if, after all, the Gemara tells us explicitly it was a result of the violation of Averos HaChamuros? That was the kasha of the Alshech. And Alshech answered with the following mashal, that there was an individual who was guilty of a capital offense, and the court summons him to death. This person, by profession, was a musician, and he always played in the court of the king. And the king would be soothed by the music that this individual provided. But now this person was guilty of a capital crime. He was about to be put to death. And the king goes before the court and asks them to at least delay the sentence of this individual. Why? Because the king says that I need him. I need his music in order to play for me, to be able to soothe and to comfort me whenever that is necessary. So the court granted that temporary stay out of deference to the king. All of a sudden time went on, and somehow the musician was no longer able to play that role. He was no longer able to play for that king. And then the court subpoenaed him once again and said, you know that in principle you were certainly guilty. You were granted a temporary stay because of the service you provided for the king, but now you no longer do so. And therefore, right, they reinstated that initial punishment. The Alshech writes, that's how to understand the apparent contradiction of the Gemara. But no doubt, the reason for the Churban HaBayis was because of the Averos HaChamuros, because of Gilei Arayos, because of Orozara, because of Shvichas Damin, the Kaviyachol. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that if indeed there is a Churban HaBayis, and you will take away Knesset Yisrael, the Limud HaTorah of Knesset Yisrael is necessary. That is something Kadosh Baruch Hu says that I treasure, that I need. And therefore, in that schus, Knesset Yisrael were granted as that musician a temporary stay because of their shira, because of the music that they provided through their limud haTorah. And that's where the Gemara Nedarim tells us. But yet there came a time, that Bnei Yisrael no longer continued to serve that role. No longer were they osik the Torah lishma. And therefore, that is what was the catalyst for the Churban HaBayis, because of the original Averos HaChamuros. So the Avera which no doubt caused, those were the Averos of the Gemara and Yuma. The catalyst that triggered, however, that was Al Shlohei Mevarchin B'Torah Tchila. We mentioned in earlier share when we discussed Birkas HaTorah, that the Gemara does not say Al Shlohei Mevarchin B'Torah, but the Gemara comments Al Shlohei Mevarchin B'Torah Tchila. What exactly is the additional phrase of the Gemara that they didn't recite Birkas HaTorah Tchila? As though they did recite it, but technically it wasn't over Asiyasan. Certain brachos we recite before, and other brachos we recite afterwards. Birkas HaMazon is always l'achareha. Birkas HaTorah is lifoneha. What's unusual, and this is the kasha of the Sefer HaChinuch, in mitzvah Tuf Lamed, is that Ramban assumes that Birkas HaTorah is in fact daraisa. In terms of its nature, it's quite similar to Birkas HaMazon. One could envision various possibilities for Birkas HaTorah. Maybe Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah. After all, a person is obligated to recite a Birkas HaMitzvah prior to the performance of a mitzvah. And maybe this is true of Birkas HaTorah itself. If this is the case, that would seem to indicate that Birkas HaTorah is Rabbanan, because the concept of a Birkas HaMitzvah is not Daraisa. And indeed, the Gemara that tells us in Barachos and Daf Chaf Aleph that you're obligated to recite Birkas HaTorah, the Gemara does not say, because there's a mitzvah, and Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah, the Gemara quotes a pasuk of Kishem HaShem Ekra, HaVogod Elokeinu. And that is what leads many Rishonim to assume that Birkas HaTorah is not a Birkas HaMitzvah. The Ramban is explicit in Sefer HaMitzvos that the nature of Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas Hodah. It's an opportunity of thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for having given us the Torah. And therefore, it is quite similar to Birkas HaMazon. The two models of a Birkas Hodah Daraisa are Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah. And in fact, that very Gemara, Brachos Kapalit, equates the two brachos. Birkas HaTorah, Birkas HaMazon, the Ramban writes, that equation is a very literal one. Both are min HaTorah, and both are considered to be Birkos Hodah. There should be many differences, whether we assume that Birkas HaTorah is the Birkas Hodah, or whether it's considered to be a Birkas HaMitzvah. The Mechaber writes the very end of Sedem Zayin, Nashim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah. Women recite Birkas HaTorah. Why is that true? The Zonagon writes, it's because of Eino Mitzuveh Vose. It's a Birkas HaMitzvah and Talmud Torah. Women are exempt. They recite a bracha on Limud HaTorah as they recite a bracha on Lulav, Sukkah, and Shofar. According to Ramban, that is not the case, but rather it's a Birkas HaTorah that men and women must recite Birkas HaTorah. Not women may recite, women must recite. The Bir Halachim Sefer Mizayin writes that perhaps the difference would be whether women can discharge the obligation of men in Birkas HaTorah. If you assume it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, then not. Women are simply doing so as Eino Mitzuveh Va'oseh. If, however, you argue that it's a Birkas HaTorah, in such a case, men and women are both obligated, and then women must, and therefore, perhaps women can even discharge the obligation of men as well. If you argue that Birkas HaTorah is the Birkas HaMitzvah, in such a case, you understand why it is Ovel Asiyasan. Benching a Birkas HaTorah, so first one partakes, then one grants HaTorah. Birkas HaMitzvah, of course, is Ovel Asiyasan. But if you assume, as the Ramban, that both are considered to be Birkas HaTorah, so there is something striking, that why is one Ovel Asiyasan, and why is the other Ra'achar Asiyasan? Why is benching after you eat, and why is Birkas HaTorah prior to that of Limud HaTorah itself? Perhaps in one vein, one could argue as follows, that a person is eating, but eating is defined, the eating will soon come to an end, and therefore you can recite a bracha le'achareha. When it comes, for example, to limud ha-Torah, which is an ongoing or encompassing mitzvah, in such a case, what exactly does it mean that you're going to recite a bracha le'achar asiyasa? After the mitzvah now has expired, the mitzvah is a continuous, an ongoing one. As Leitchik once explained, perhaps that's why when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, where it is a defined chiyu that does in fact come to an end, you can have a bracha of Asher Nasan Lanu La'achareha, even though it's part of the Berachas HaTorah, it is recited Lifaneha. But the Sefer HaChinuch writes the following chiddush. The Torah is telling us, in that juxtaposition, Lifaneha and La'achareha, a marked difference between Hodah that you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu for physical needs as opposed to a spiritual pursuit. When it comes to a physical need, then the Chinuch writes as follows. When a person eats and physically he is satisfied, that is when a person is obligated to give Hodah. And that is why the Chalta v'Savata, then Uverachtas Hashem Elokecha. When it comes to the privilege of Limud HaTorah, that is not the case. It's not that a person will learn a Blat Gemara and be satisfied, so to speak, and then and only then you recite a bracha, but the mere opportunity, the privilege of Esek HaTorah, that itself elicits a certain hana and hoda to the neshama, that the Sefer HaChinuch writes, that warrants a bracha immediately. When it comes to, right, Esek HaTorah, literally, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, a person cannot wait. It's not that he can wait to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu after that is done, but the moment the person is about to engage, realizing the special character of that pursuit, Kishem Hashem Ekra, that this is opportunity to link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that immediately invokes and elicits that sense of Hodah. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that the Chashivos, the prominence and the splendor that one grants Limud HaTorah is evident in the fact that you recite this bracha over L'Asiyasa. In light of the Sefer HaChinuch again, when you revisit what the Gemara tells us, that Al Shlohayim Mevarchin BaTorah Chila, it's not simply that Bnei Yisrael failed to recite Birkas HaTorah, but no, they did not recite the Birkas HaTorah over L'Asiyasa. They view this true as the basis of Hodah, but comparable even to other forms of Hodah, even for Sarchi HaGuf. And that is what the Gemara tells us, as the Ran explains, Shlohaya Divrei Torah Chashuvim Be'enav. It's an important message, part of the mindset on Tisha B'Av. The fact that we are deprived of the opportunity of Limud HaTorah, that itself demonstrates the character of learning, the simcha of Talmud Torah, and in fact why it is necessary that an Avel take a step back and deprive himself from that possibility. The Gemara does point out that there is an obvious distinction between Avelos D'Yachid as opposed to the Avelos D'Rabim, and that is the progression, the series of the days. When it comes to personal Avelos, so we know the most intense period of Avelos, right, is the time of the Misa, the Kvura, and then as time continues, the Avelos diminishes. The sequence of Avelos is Min HaKaved El HaKal. You'll have the intensity of the Aninus and Avelos Yom Rishon, and then you'll have 3 days in Shiva, in Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh, and the Avelos itself diminishes. This is true when it comes to Avelos of Eyachin. And when it comes to Avelos of Atzibur, quite the opposite is the case. It's not that we begin, so to speak, with Tisha B'Av, and then the aftermath, the Avelos diminishes, but rather the sequence of the days of Shivasra B'Tammuz, and then Ben HaMitzarim, and the period of Tisha B'Av itself, the sequence is Min HaKal Al HaKavet. As the time continues, the Avelos intensifies as opposed to diminishes when it comes to personal Avelos itself. And the answer seems to be quite obvious as follows. When a person experiences personal Avelos, the charge, the mission is not to prepare oneself for that Avelos, but rather to respond respond to the Avelos. A person suffers loss, and the Dini Avelos teach a person how to respond, how to move on, how to internalize that experience. And therefore, if the challenge of Avelos is indeed how to respond to the Avelos, in such an instance you have the Avelos followed by the Nihuge Avelos. The challenge of the time of Tisha B'Av is this. If Tisha B'Av is a time of tshuva, comparable to Yom HaKippurim, therefore that requires that measure of hachana. A person has to prepare for that experience, not just react and respond to Churban HaBayis, but rather a person has to prepare oneself to be able to properly experience the significance of Tisha B'Av. And therefore, as part of the hachana for Tisha B'Av, therefore it's necessary to have windows of Avelus, min hakal el hakaved. Hachana is needed in terms of that process of tshuva, of tainus sibur, of Tisha B'Av, similar to Yom HaKippurim. That certainly is not the purpose of nihuge Avelus, preparation for the Avelus, but rather a response to Tira, a response to loss. And how is it that an Eved Hashem is able to continue and to recognize Hashkafas Hashem despite the fact that a person has suffered a particular loss? And this is why Chazal have created these windows of time, the different gradations of Avelos, in order to allow for that experience. But these are the different tiers, the different levels of what we experience during Tisha B'Av. It's considered to be a time of Yom HaKippurim as a moment of Tanis Sibur. It's considered at the same time to be a time of Avelos that requires a certain intensity of Hachana. And despite that, Karlai Moed, a recognition that even in a time of Hester Panim, one can nonetheless recognize the Hashkafas Hashem of Mizmal Yosef. The Ramban writes in the very end of Parshas Bo that this is a lesson that is relevant always in life. The Ramban explains that to be able to recognize the Yad Hashem in Nisim Gluim, that is not such a significant challenge. A Shivcha Shabiyam is able to see the Yad Hashem in that which is obvious and overt. The ability to be able to recognize Hashkafas Hashem in a period of Hestepanim, that takes a certain sense of Emunah and Bitachon, of appreciating the Nisim Gluyim, and allowing that to focus and refine one's vision to also recognize that everything in life, even what seems to be an Esara, is Koma de Aved Rachmana Metav Aved. That was the uniqueness of Rabbi Akiva, V'hai Rabbi Akiva Mitzachei Tzvil, to recognize Geula and Yeshua, even in the time of Churban HaBayis as well. To see Churban as Yischalta de Geula. And that is a much more difficult challenge. To be able to recognize Hashkafas Hashem not in a time of Gilui Shina, but rather in a moment of Hester Panim. In that sense, we understand, we appreciate, right, the significance of Tisha B'Av. And part of the theme of the Kinos is the universal nature of Tisha B'Av itself. It doesn't merely commemorate Churban HaBayis, but rather its very purpose is to be a day of universal Avelos for all Sarah, collectively, and even that which a person experiences individually. The Midrashim tell us that personal suffering is that which a person addresses even on a time of Tisha B'Av itself. Because if it's a time of Avelos, a time of Tzayin Sibur, but also Kara Alay Moed, the appropriateness to be able to commemorate that, even if you are dealing not with a tzara that occurred in terms of Churban HaBayis, but rather to be able to appreciate on a personal level the significance of that day. The meaning of Tisha B'Av is something that, in a certain sense, is hard for us to grasp. It is much easier for us to celebrate a Pesach Seder than it is necessarily to commemorate Tisha B'Av, to appreciate the sense of Churban HaBayis. We never experienced Beis HaMikdash, and without that, sometimes it's hard to know what in fact is lacking, is missing, when a person never experiences that element of Simcha. all the more so that Tisha B'Av requires, as Chazal built in, the time of hachana, time of anticipation, time of preparation is necessary to fully appreciate the complex character of this time. A day which is similar to Yom HaKippurim, a time of Tainus Tzibur, a time that is similar to a day of Avelus, and the underlying element of Tisha B'Av of Kalai Moed, that even in a time of Tainus and Avelus, a person can celebrate that fact of Shachach HaNopo, Kila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eskamas Al Eitzim V'Avonim Shebe'echa B'Rumitoch Kach. As a result, he should play to the Yisrael that Knesset Yisrael survives and thrives even in a period of Golos, realizing the everlasting link between the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Knesset Yisrael.
Make sure you